Creative people, welcome to Creative Conversations. My name is Hollis Citron, and we are so happy that you have chosen to spend this hour with us. I am owner and founder of I Am Creative and Express Yourself Publishing, and I am on a mission to expand the definition of creativity beyond a pencil and a paintbrush and empower people, especially adults, to own their talents that come in so many different forms. So this space was created to talk with people with all different jobs, hobbies, and interests, and to have conversations about experiences and perspectives all centered around three questions. One, how do you define creativity? Two, how do you incorporate it into your life? And three, why do you think that it's important? Then we have a free-flowing conversation and we see where it goes. So I have had the opportunity to talk with so many different kinds of people, musicians, Reiki masters, mediums, doctor, lawyer, real estate agents, and so many more. These conversations explore the reality that creativity is not cute, it is necessary. Because people have defined creativity as things like their soul's mission, courage, imagination, basically all that we are and want to be. So sharing these stories expands one's thinking and opens up self-expression to feel more empowered, connected, and dare I say, happy. So my inspiring guest for today is Dusia Lubovskaya. Dusia combines Western medicine. Let me say that again because it got covered up. So Dusia, hold on 1 minute. Because I can't see it now? Okay, there we go. So Dusia combines Western medicine with ancient healing modalities to help entrepreneurs to increase their money mindset and help get unstuck. Dusia, welcome to the space.
Thank you very much.
You're welcome. Now, I can hear my voice. There's a little bit of feedback going on. Do you have headphones in?
Yes, I do.
Maybe try and take them off and let's see if that changes it.
Okay, no problem.
Okay,
okay,
so let's
how
see.
About now?
Can you hear? Yeah, much better actually, I think.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, let me see. So, oh, I still hear.
Yeah, I can hear
okay.
you.
Okay. Okay, I keep hearing my voice in the background.
Oh my
it's
gosh.
Like a repetition going on. Yeah.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah, it's like everything I say repeated. Okay, hold on 1 second. Let me see. I'm going to try and press this microphone. I'm going to see if it makes a difference. Okay. Can you hear me? Okay. Nope, that just totally muted you.
Okay.
Can you hear me now?
I can hear you.
Okay. Let me see if I'm hearing. Okay. I'm not hearing my voice in the background anymore. Okay. Good. Yay. Hi.
Hi. Hello again. Glad to be here.
I am so glad that you're in this space. Oh man. I hear it again.
Oh my.
I know. Okay, the person joining in, welcome. We're just having a little bit of technical issues that we're just figuring out, so we're so happy that you're here. So let me just, yeah, I don't know why it's different than when we practiced. Because it keeps kind of like lagging and then, okay, let's try and put the headphones back in and we'll see.
No.
Okay. The headphones are back in? Oh my God, now it sounds worse. Now I can hear myself even more.
Oh my gosh.
I don't want to hear myself. Okay. Not in this way. Okay. So let's try taking them out again.
Uh-huh.
And let's just see. So, okay. So I'm going to speak to this person who's joining us and let's see if there's a backlog. So I'm so glad that you're here joining us. Let us know where you're joining in from. And it's great to see where everybody is located. Okay, good. So Dusia, I don't hear my voice. So this is good. Okay, so let's dive on in. So I just gave a little bit of your bio. There's so much to be said about you. So can you please tell us a little bit more about yourself?
Sure. So hopefully you can all hear me.
Yes, we can.
Yay, good. Okay, so as you mentioned, I'm Ducia and I'm a holistic life coach. I am located in Massachusetts in the US, for those who are outside of the country. And yeah, I just combine Western medicine with ancient healing modalities like Reiki, angel healing, and just and ancestral healing and whatever, like you name it, that's what I do.
Yeah, it's so widespread in what you do. And talk to us a little bit more about what you've done to get to where you are right now.
Yes, so that was a long journey. Yes, so I don't want to, don't want to like go on and on.
Yeah, you give us the abbreviated version.
Yeah, so I originally started in medical field, which was where I still am. I just was attracted to holistic medicine since I was growing up because everybody was talking about holistic medicine except for Reiki. And yeah, in 2014, after a bunch of, let's say, family personal issues that came up and everything else, I discovered the world of Reiki and I was immediately hooked. I just felt like I was at home. I was finally at home. I felt like this is where I belong. And I did not think about using my medical background until I started working with clients. And I just noticed that a lot of my clients, these started in 2014 or 2015, a lot of clients will come with medical issues. And although the healthcare professionals would say something like, well, this is the medication you're going to take, and it's, and well, just, I mean, it is what it is. And interestingly, when I started working with them, I noticed that my medical background was actually very necessary because I knew what was going on. I realized, okay, this is the Western medicine point of view, but however, there's the ancient modalities point of view. And so I combined those two and I said, okay, this is, I understand what's going on. I know what your healthcare professional is thinking. However, we can work this, we can work through this. And as soon as I start combining my medical knowledge, my clients, their situations are improving. And I mean, they, of course, they still see their healthcare providers because that's, I mean, that's what they should do. But just them able to combine ancient modalities with the rest of medicine, it just improved their life so much. It's just no words for that. I can't describe how many happy faces I've seen throughout the years.
Oh my gosh, isn't that exciting? You are literally the best of both worlds, in order to be able to, because what I love about holistic medicine is being able to look at the person as a whole and then be able to break things down and not be able to say, oh, well, there's an issue here. I have to send you off to this person and then send you off to this person and make another appointment. I mean, it's just, can't somebody just look at me as a whole person? And yeah, and what you're talking about is, God, you're like a person answering a person's prayers. They come in and you're like, okay, I get this aspect. But now we can look at the holistic point and look at, be able to see all the way around with healing with energy and all that kind of stuff. It's just wonderful.
Absolutely. And I seriously, I don't feel sorry any day that I started. I just, it's just who I am and I love it. I love the results that my clients have. I love how it's improved my life. I just can't imagine without anything, any a life without it.
God, which just means you are so doing the right thing. It's amazing. And before I go on, when you say medical field, what were you doing within the medical field?
So I started first in patient care. As I mentioned, there was just a bunch of family issues that I had to deal with from, let's say, right after graduating high school, and I became the breadwinner. I was planning to go straight to college, but as I said, I had to be the breadwinner, so I went into patient care, and I just started climbing up the ladder, while at some point going back to school, and yeah, then like 10 years later or so, I discovered Reiki and I just kept climbing the ladder and I still am. I'm still a part-time student because I wanted to still learn more about Western medicine. And yeah, that's where I am. I just
I just went further up and I still work with patients. And I just think when I work with clients right now, I think, wait a minute, did I have a patient in the hospital or somewhere where I had some situations? They're like, oh, okay, it rings a bell now. I know what to do.
Yeah, again, that whole holistic view. So amazing. Okay. So, yes, and our listener is calling in from South Africa. So amazing. South
Oh,
Africa in the house. So happy to have you here. Okay, so let's start with our would you rather question, and then we're going to dive into our first question.
wow. Okay.
So, Dosia, would you rather be stranded on a desert island alone or with someone who talks nonstop?
Oh my gosh. I mean, the second part is really interesting. I think I mean, I want to say the first one, but then I realized even though the person maybe talks nonstop, but they maybe have some important advice for me, so I can try to like tune out what they're saying and just focus on what they the important part, because I really want to do teamwork. I don't want to be like the old person who's alone and tries to figure things out, but if that person has some information, okay, let's work together. You keep talking and maybe I'll hear something important.
I love it. I love it. So you'll hear the things that you want to hear or that will be helpful within the situation. It's so funny. I asked my family this question. So the makeup of my family is my husband, my son, and my daughter. So immediately, both of the men were just like alone, alone, alone. And then when we revisited the question, they were like, wait a minute, is the other person a woman? And I'm like, you can make up the scenario however you want. They're like, because if it's a woman, then that's okay. I'm like, oh my God, you guys are so obnoxious.
Funny.
So the different ways the question can be, yours is teamwork, theirs is sexual preferences. So
Oh, boy.
moving on. So, first question is, how do you define creativity?
For me, creativity is thinking out of the box, literally. Because you have to, because any time in my life I think, okay, what can I do here? What should I do here? And there's so many different solutions, but sometimes there are situations where nothing, like you can have plan A, plan B, and plan C, but there's just so many situations in our life that are really crazy, and then you just have to think of something that nobody ever thought of, or you never, like, where is this coming from? Like, just something completely out of the blue. That's what I see creativity.
Yeah, totally get that. And when you mentioned that whole, like, you never know how your life's going to turn out. Like, we have plan. I mean, some people have very specific plans. It amazes me. I was never the planner of things. So I just kind of did kind of go with it. But I know people who are like, well, when I'm this age, I'm going to do this. And this age, I'm going to do this. And I'm going to have, like, even my daughter, it's crazy. She's the kind that makes lists of kids' names. She's like, Mom, so how do you like this name? If I were to name my daughter this or to name my son this, I'm like, babe, don't you think you need to have like your husband or your partner involved in this? But she's like that kind of a person in planning in that way. So, but I mentioned that because it's like, so many times in life you have to veer and you didn't expect that. And like you said, you have to think outside the box and how you're going to move. Somebody that I spoke to before said, which I love, she said, I don't think of them as boxes. She's like, I think of them as like literally not in the box, but hovering over a box.
I like that.
Yeah, I thought that was really cool.
Yeah.
And that she said they could be different shapes too. She's like, and it doesn't have to be a square box. It could be a heart. It could be a star. It could be whatever you want it to be.
Absolutely. Oh my gosh, I love that. I love that kind of creative. That's Josie, whoever said that's my best friend.
So tell me a little bit more because I know when we had our pre-talk, we talked about trauma.
Yes.
and things related to trauma. So if you could talk a little bit more about that within, the realm of all of this, that would be great.
Sure. So I work with clients who have trauma coming from their childhood most of the time. What happens is that I have clients who have chronic health issues, and it's like some of them are their 50s, 60s, along that age. And often, like, I remember working with a client who had some allergies. Like, she had an allergic reaction to something, and any cream that she used, it didn't work. Whatever her healthcare provider said, any lotion, it didn't work. And this is where I got creative, honestly, because if there's no doctor, if any medication she tries, if it doesn't work, then something is outside of, like, it's not related to Western medicine then. It's something holistic modalities can take care of. So I asked her, okay, what was your childhood like? And as usual, when I ask that question, people are like, what? What's my child has to do with this? Okay, no worries. When something happens during your childhood, like either you with your parents having a fight or something happened, like either you have a toxic relationship with a mother, father, somebody in your family, or you just witness something horrible, a traumatic situation. When we're children, we don't usually say, I'm scared, or how could you do this to me, or how could you treat me like this? We don't have that ability. Not many children, at least. We tend to like hold it inside of us, inside of our soul. And when we grow up, our body is just like is digesting it, these experiences. And if we and then at some point our body gets sick. Now, when our body is sick, that means something is wrong. We're not okay. We need help. But if we ignore it, if we keep ignoring this, like even this trauma, these traumatic situations, then it becomes an allergic reaction, like with this client, or it turns into some kind of chronic issue, migraine, whatever chronic health issue you can think of, it turns into that chronic problem. And so I was working with this client, and as soon as we started getting to the bottom of her trauma, her health issues, it started to improve. Her skin rashes started to improve. And it was just amazing. Even when we went through her relationship with her mother, it started improving. It was just
Wow.
amazing. That's actually my way of getting creative, because you have to, because seriously, any doctor you go to, any health facility you go to, they'll say, okay, this is what our medical books say, this is what's going on, but it's not working, so you have to get creative. And so I said, okay, outside the box here, what happened in childhood?
Yeah, so I have a few questions on that. Well, I have a comment first. So you're obviously a good listener because that's what needs to happen. Like you're actually tuning in, you're listening to them, you're listening to them, and you're listening to their body in order to then kind of figure out what modality is needed, correct?
Correct, yes. I use my intuition.
So when you're saying that you're digging into like the trauma, which God, yes, makes so much sense. Are you, is it a combination of like, are they on the table while you're working on them? Or how does that, if you can kind of give us a picture of how that kind of looks?
Before COVID happened, I would generally, I mean, they don't have to instantly lay on a massage table or whatever. What happens in the consultation is either they can, we can have like a face-to-face conversation in person. Nowadays, because of COVID, it's mostly remote. So what I do is they can have a, like we used to have Skype, but now it's more like audio chat, like we talk on the over the phone, or we can do FaceTime or something like that. And so I, when I'm listening to them, I listen to their words, and I also listen between the lines, like, okay, whatever they're saying, how does it sound? Like, does it sound like they are in agreement with what they're saying, or they like, what does it sound? And anytime when I feel like, okay, something alarming happened, something is not right here, I ask clarifying questions, and we get to the bottom. We get like immediately we get to the like, this is what's going on. When I'm doing, like when I see the person again, I ask them questions. I observe them. I see how they're reacting. And I see, okay, is this person calm or does that person look like they just want to throw up or what's going on? And when I see their body language and I see how they're reacting, I can sense, okay, they're talking about, but there's something either they, like, it's, it depends on how, does it feel light or does it feel like, oh, I don't want to talk about this. Like, what does this feel? So I tune into their body language, I tune into their voice to see, to check. And like, I can't really put into words how I do it, but I just, oh my gosh, I've been doing this for a while. And I just remember how I would listen to my patients in the past, and then I could sense when something wasn't right, and I just use that same technique even when I'm working with people, like whether they are in Massachusetts or they're somewhere on the other side of the U.S. or even if they're in Australia, because I work with people in Australia as well.
Yeah. Well, when I asked you that question, I was thinking, Hollis, my God, it's been COVID. Like, I just totally forgot, like, what kind of world we've been in for the last year and a half or however long it's been. And I understand, like, it's very hard to kind of describe your process because the words, first of all, I love that you said, listen between the lines. Like, that is an amazing quote. Just that really just jumped out at me, that you're really listening between, because you're looking at their body language, you're using their intuition, you're feeling how everything feels. It's very hard to describe your process when you're doing all that, because all of those things are so much of a feeling thing, for lack of a better word right now.
Right. Yeah.
So I want to welcome the people that are here with us live. Thank you so much for being here. And any questions or comments, please feel free to put them in the chat box and we will see them. So in this space, we are talking all about creativity. The first question was, how do you define creativity? And then we're going to move on to our second question, which is, so Dusia, how do you incorporate creativity into your own life?
How do I incorporate creativity? It varies. Like sometimes, honestly, anytime someone says about thinking out of the box, that's just who I am. I can't imagine not thinking out of the box. Like there's some situations, even when I'm not working with the right client or in my own personal life, if I had to cook something, I try to get creative. Like I look for something that I can make that doesn't look good, but it tastes good. So I think of ways like, okay, how can I make it look delicious without, even if I don't have enough food in the refrigerator? Mm-hmm. Can we think, there's so many things I try. Like even when I work with my past, I would get creative by, okay, there's one example I should use, and it's actually, I mean, for me personally, I think it's common, but some people don't, at least when I talk to other healthcare professionals, they're like, what are you doing? So what I'm referring to is, for example, I would talk to a patient, and this patient had, like, verbal issues, like not able to communicate.
Wait, Dusia, hold on one second. I'm sorry. It's kind of going in and out.
Oh, I'm sorry.
Yeah, okay.
Okay, sorry about that.
Yeah, that's better.
Okay. So I would talk to a patient. The patient is not able to communicate verbally. Mm-hmm. So I would check, okay, does this person have some kind of device? Like, can this person write? If that person can't write, is there some kind of machine that person can use so they can communicate? If that's off the table, then I try something that I actually started at a very young age. I used strategies that I came up when I was 13 years old, and my late father was in the ICU in a coma. So I used a strategy with these patients then, and that is, I tell them, if you can hear me, blink your eyes, like yes, one time or no, two times, or do something with your fingers, like raise your pinky or raise your index finger, like something like that. I have to get creative, like think about something that you don't usually do and to get them to talk. And I pay attention to their to even pay attention to their eyes. Like if they like I'm looking at the person's eyes and their eyes look like they're like staring at me like I'm a ghost or something. I'm thinking, okay, maybe I said something that scared them. Maybe they remember something. I asked them, are you okay? And they say blink once or blink twice. They do that.
Yeah,
So many.
simple yet so effective.
Yeah. There's just so many things where I get creative. Yeah. I don't know. I know you would have to ask me something specific because
Yeah, let's see. Okay, so how about anything about music? Anything about traveling? Anything about any kind of body movement? Anything? Is that sparking anything?
Yes, definitely.
Okay.
The music. So I had to get creative when I was a teenager. I had to get very creative. My late father, he was, let's just say, an interesting person. He was a horrible person, but I'm trying to be polite here. I was not allowed to have cassettes. Like we were in the 90s, you were not allowed to have an MP player. I wasn't allowed to have any gadgets that you could use to listen to music. So anytime the TV was on, I would try to memorize all the songs every time until I could sing them back.
Whoa, so hold on. So
Yeah.
you watch TV and
Yeah.
you tried to memorize the songs
Yes.
so you could basically entertain yourself with those
Yes.
songs.
Yes.
Wow.
Yeah. And now when I'm like looking up on YouTube something, I just try to remember the title of the song or the singer of the songs, and I look it up on YouTube and I find it. Sometimes it takes me a while because I know who sang the song, but I can't remember the title of it. So I tried to find, okay, who was the singer? What was the name of the singer? And I do that then.
Wow. So you have amazing list. I mean, here, this kind of follows through with your intuition and your listening abilities, like you do with your clients. I mean, you are really tuned in.
I'm gonna be modest, and I'm just gonna say it was survival skills. That's the best way because I had to get creative in so many ways when my father was around because we were literally not allowed much things, and it was not because of religious issues or whatever. It was just more because he had his issues, and so I had to say, okay, how can I cope? How can I enjoy myself? How can I discover my individuality while dealing with his nonsense. So I would just, and then I would be watching TV shows, and I would memorize their music, or when my mother needed to go for groceries, and she couldn't, for some reason, she couldn't find the items we needed, and I just happened to remember, let's go to another store, and we usually go to the same store all the time because he said so. So I said, okay. Let's just try it. Just try it. Go to another store where I think I've noticed that store bypassing. Let's just try it. And there we go. There was the item that we needed. So, and she never knew about that store. She never thought about going to that store. It was just, we just happened to be passing that store. I don't know when we did. And she's like, oh my gosh, we never went there. Like, what's wrong with trying something new? Let's just try it. And then she would bring it, and then we would bring the all the groceries home, and my father would not even think about asking, was everything there? And we just thought, okay, we'll just live with it.
Yeah. Gosh, I'm so sorry that you had to go through that. I mean, so stressful. I mean, at any age.
Yeah, it was, and I have to say that all these experiences that I had that I grew up with actually helped me in the long run. And I don't even know what this sounds like what I just said, but because of all the situations I went through, I can recognize that, especially when I work with families, like all these trauma-related childhood issues. Because I also had some issues, like I was having trouble climbing stairs since I was a little girl, and my mother wanted to know what was going on, but my father didn't. And later on, we found out it was related to trauma because of how he was acting around us. Mm-hmm. And yeah, so I just, and when I listened to my clients and when I asked them what's their childhood like, because I learned that everything in your childhood affects you as an adult. Yeah. Whatever you witness, it affects you, whether you are aware of it or not. And so I just, that's why I listen to them and I say, okay, I think I know what is going on here, and this is what we need to work on.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think going back to your, when you said about, you know, trying a different store, mm-hmm. like something as simple as that. I mean, it sounds like from listening on the other end, I mean, there was fear involved of, you know, mm-hmm. when you're scared of an individual and then you're told a certain thing and all that kind of stuff. But I think it's also a good analogy just for the idea of routine mm-hmm. and getting stuck. Because I think within other areas of our lives, you know, we all tend to do that. We do like the same kind of thing. And in this case, it's not necessarily because of those reasons. Sometimes it is because of those reasons of somebody bullying us or whatever that looks like. But I know within what I do, you know, with creativity and trying to get people empowered to discover what their creative expressions are beyond just drawing and painting, people, we get used to doing what we do and don't always think about trying something new because we could fail or many other reasons, you know?
I completely understand that. And I resonate with that because I grew up, although I learned from very early on to be creative, quote unquote. However, at the same time, I always had self-esteem issues and I didn't trust myself to step out of my comfort zone and try something new. Like, I mean, going to the grocery store, finding a different one that was more along the lines of, we have to get this food. We have to get this food somehow. We have to get this done. But just thinking about my personal life, like, okay, how do I, like, if I wanted to try swimming or try going on a plane or something like that, that's what I had to work on. Stepping out of my comfort zone, and that took me years. Honestly, that took me years, and I only started able to get to the point where I could say, "I'm going to try this." I don't know. Sometime in my early adulthood, when I started developing friendships with people who said, "Juicy, just try this. I mean, it's not going to hurt you, and we're right here with you. And if something happens, we're right there, and we can pick you up if you fall." Like they were like. You're so for that.
But that's really important what you mm-hmm. said right there too, is that idea of support. Because mm-hmm. Obviously, I mean, when you surround yourself with people, it sounds like an obvious thing, but when you're in it, it's not necessarily the case. I mean, because if you're not surrounding yourself with people that are actually there to catch you literally if you fall or whatever else, then you're not going to want to try new things unless you feel really comfortable in your own shoes, you know?
Absolutely. And I know, I absolutely agree. And that's why, and this is probably off topic, but when I talk to clients and they're like wondering, should I try Reiki? Like, do you think it could help? And I say, the worst case that will happen, that's the worst case. But I always tell them, just let me know, even during the session, let me know if you want to stop. Don't worry about this. There's no expectation. Just try it. And if you want to keep going, we'll keep going. You say, no, I can't do so. I'm scared. It's all good. We're going to let it go. We can try it another time, or we can talk about whatever works for you. And sometimes when I'm during the session, and even though they don't say anything, but their body language feels mm-hmm. tense, I realize, okay, something's going on here. So I just gently wake them up and say, okay, what's going on? We can stop it. No worries. It's all good.
Yeah, but again, it's creating that safe space. Mm-hmm. I can say, you know, being in the classroom, I have been an art teacher for 30 years. I left my I left the official classroom per se almost 3 years ago to really dive into my own company, which is I Am Creative and Express Yourself Publishing. But whenever in working with, I've worked with like ages 2 to 100, literally. And I think what you're saying is just key, is you're creating this safe space because you're observing people, because you're listening to people, because you're seeing how, because people will not express themselves. In my form, it was, you know, through all different kinds of visual art, but not even just that. It was through using their voice. If the space isn't created, then people aren't going to express. It's just, that's what it is. And it's just a matter of really looking and listening to people to see, you know, how to best guide them or help them.
Absolutely. I totally agree. I honestly, I can't tell you how much I agree with you, because I do everything possible to make the place safe. Like even, again, this is probably a little off topic, I do this even creativity stuff with when I'm working with a client who's on the autism spectrum as well. For them, it's very difficult, so I try again to get creative. I try to keep them comfortable, like just sit with them or just see what their body language is telling them, so I can say, okay, this is what your body language is saying, this is what you want me to do, okay. We can, like, just using gestures.
Same yeah.
Thing. Just being creative.
Yeah, well, it's understanding how people learn and what they need. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, so many times in so many different settings, it's kind of like thinking really quickly on your feet. It's mm-hmm. 'cause you have a plan, per se, of how, like for me, I would have a plan on how I was going to deliver the information and whatever we were doing. Whatever hands-on activity or written activity or whatever it was that we were going to be doing. But if it wasn't working, if it wasn't reaching the audience, then in my head, I'd be like, okay, got to tweak it. How are we going to do this? So it was like constantly being on your toes.
I know, right? Yeah, absolutely. Just level with your audience, level with your client, do whatever, to speak their language, learn their language to speak it.
Oh, yeah, love that. Speak and learn their language, because it's like, it's not about us, right? It's about them.
Exactly. They need to feel safe. They need to feel understood. They need to feel and know that we are that, like, whether it's someone working with you or with me, they need to know that they're okay and that you understand them, or you're trying to understand their language. That's what's important for them to say in their way, okay, help me. This is my problem. Please help me with that. They need to trust you first. And by trusting you means learning to understand their language.
Yes, 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 yes. Trust is so friggin' huge, right?
Absolutely.
So huge, because a person will not, like you're referring to, you know, people will not open up to their past childhood traumas if they don't feel like they're in a safe space, because they obviously didn't feel safe then. So why would they share? Why would they share, and, you know, with someone that they didn't know? Although sometimes, I don't know, I'm thinking sometimes I've shared more things with people that I don't know, waiting in that line for 5 minutes.
Yeah, it's just, I mean, when you're sitting with somebody or when you're talking to somebody and you just feel understood, it's natural when you share more about yourself. And I probably do the same. Like I'm talking to somebody and I just share something about my day and I'm thinking, I don't even know that person. Then I realize I just felt comfortable with them, because that person just made me feel welcome. And they were like sitting there just looking at me and smiling and confirming what I was saying, and it just felt like we were having an actual conversation, and it just felt safe.
Yeah.
My gosh.
Yeah. So I actually want to ask about, so the word came to me about asking about triggers. So when you spoke about that things could hang out in your body for a while because of thing and all of this. So if you're kind of living your life and you had stuff kind of go on with you, and then, you know, everything seemed to be going on, whatever. I don't know. Like, how am I saying this? My brain is kind of like, blah. So could there just be something that, can you give me an example of a trigger that could be set off where a person, it could set them into a downward spiral? You know what I mean?
Yes. Like I was talking to a person. Yeah, right. I was talking, this was 2 months ago. and I had a client who seemed to have his life all together, all going and dandy dandy. But he had some issues. He had difficulties communicating with his wife. And something happened. He didn't know what happened, but something happened. Like, he was not able to say, "I love you," out of the blue. And so I asked him, "You want to share more about it?" He was very hesitant, and mind you, I was with him on the phone, so I don't even know anymore which state he was from, if at all. And he just said that he has to say, "I love you," to his wife, and they've been together for, I don't know, 10 years or so. And something happened, and he doesn't know what, and he's embarrassed, obviously. I mean, he's just thinking, okay, what's going on here? I love her. Why can't I suddenly say it anymore? So I said, "Okay, do you want to share something about your marriage? Like, do you want to share about anything?" And I could hear he was very hesitant. So I decided, okay, we're gonna get creative here. I'll step out of the box here. Okay, I asked him, okay, tell me, I decided two strategies. I thought, okay, I could ask him about his childhood, but I wanted to first hear, okay, what happens when you want to say, "I love you"? And then that's when he immediately got stuck. He couldn't even say what happens. That's a trigger. Like, if you can't even say it out because your body is shivering or whatever, something is with that sentence, something happened. Something's going on with that particular three words. And when he started, like, he couldn't even say anything at all, then I realized, okay, question number two, tell me about your childhood. And like, what? Just tell me about your childhood. And he still doesn't understand why, what does my child have to do with this? Said, so, okay, forget for a moment about your wife. Forget about your marriage situation. Imagine yourself, you were playing basketball when you're 17 years old. He was now in his 50s, I think. And imagine you were playing basketball, you got hit by a ball, and you go to a doctor. The doctor says, "Oh, you're fine. It's just a bump. That's it." And then after, let's say now suddenly you have headaches. And you're thinking, "Why do I have headaches? I don't have any problems right now." And says, "Is it possible? Like, are you doing anything? Reading, staying up all night or something?" "No, nope, I'm good." So, well, but if you are all good and you're still having those like headaches, there is a possibility that's triggered by what happened when you were 17. Like, it can take 10, 20 years until your body says, the pain is still there, but it's just forgotten, for lack of better wording. And now your body's saying, "I'm not okay. This I got hit by a ball, and I'm not doing well," and your body's reacting. I said, "Okay," and I said, "Okay, now let's go to your childhood. Tell me anything that stands out to you about these three words, 'I love you.' Anything later?" And that's when he started cussing. Not gonna be, but it's something that happened to him. And it was not even in his childhood, but actually in his teenage years that something happened. And I'm not gonna go into detail, but he was betrayed and hurt and all the other beautiful stuff. And ever since, he's had a problem with those three words. But then he met this wonderful woman, and he loved her. And he's happy with her, but then something happens. Okay, is it possible that something between you, like, did she say something, or did you have an argument or something? Did something happen that related to what happened in that time? Again, he cussed. Again, he was swearing. And I realized, okay, this is where it's coming from. It's coming from that time. And so I offered him a healing session. And I offered him like a recon like ancestral healing session as well, because he needed that to do reconciliation for what happened when he was a teenage boy, because it was affecting him. Although he thought, "No big deal, I'm a grown man, it's fine." You may think that, but your subconscious is kind of saying, I disagree," something like that.
Gosh, yeah. Thank you so much for asking that question so well. Because when it was coming out of my mouth, I knew what I wanted to say, but it was like bumbling out. So I appreciate you answering that in such specific detail because mm-hmm. it makes so much sense. Because, yeah, it's these things that might seem, at the time, they could either seem big or they seem little, but we tuck them away. And mm-hmm. then the body's kind of like, no, we're not done with that. Like, I'm still feeling that even though it, you know, it just decides to come back to the surface and it feels like crap.
Yep. Yeah, that's another part of my creativity, like getting to, okay, let's forget about this. Think of something, like, I just love using analogies and examples so people can better understand. I'm very visual and I just give people visual examples so they can say, okay, this is what's going on. This is how it looks like. This is what happens. Like, imagine storytelling.
Yeah, that's amazing. Yeah, so it is like storytelling. Mm-hmm. It's really just kind of you're allowing the story to unfold.
Mm-hmm.
So that's really what you're doing is you're allowing these stories and maybe these stories that have been covered up.
Yeah.
You're unearthing them and then releasing them.
Absolutely. And I even guide my clients through the stories. Like when we're doing a meditation session, part of the ancestral healing, and they're having conversation, like I tell them, imagine, just use your imagination, be a child. Imagine yourself talking to the person, whoever you need, whoever you feel like you need to talk to them. I mean, you can write letters or send emails to that person, but when you're doing it on a subconscious level, like on a more calming level, you're able to say, I don't agree with what happened. Why did this happen? And you actually get answers that way. Mm-hmm. I mean, you can write letters, but the thing is, when you, I do encourage writing letters, but when you write, like, you know what you did it, how could you do this? It just goes on and on. Like, I mean, it's okay to have this anger, but sometimes you just have to be like, I'm really frustrated about what happened. I know this like 10, 20 years ago, but I'm really frustrated about this. And I would really like to like get this through and like, I know whatever your expectation is after whatever happened.
Well, it sounds like what you're talking about is also kind of like your higher self.
Yes.
Like you're speaking to your higher self.
That's true. Yes.
And kind of healing that and getting more of the answers that way, because we do know, it's not that we know everything, but I mean, we do know beyond just the surface, beyond the experiences that happening or that are happening or have happened, our higher self knows
mm-hmm.
better than we do. Would you agree with that?
Absolutely, yes. Because, yeah, and our higher self knows everything about us. It's just, we just have to learn to communicate with our higher self. And I know people are going to say, well, how do you do that? I mean, meditation, yeah, but how do you actually do that? And again, I use creativity. Imagine you're talking to your higher self as a person. Imagine that your higher self in front of you, like a person, and talk to them. I know this sounds silly, but it is so amazing and empowering. I have no word. It's just so amazing.
It is. It's so powerful. And what you're talking about, I mean, when you were referring to the story with the person who couldn't say I love you,
mm-hmm.
how many sessions did that take to have that breakthrough for him?
Yeah,
I know, before you moved on to the actual ancestral healing.
It took two and a half sessions, really. Yeah, after two sessions, we were finally able to get through that. Yeah, because the first session we were just talking and then I have to think about, okay. Then the second, we talked, and then we did the actual healing session. And then, yeah, the third one is where we got to the bottom of what was going on.
So this is what makes me so passionate about all of this. Mm-hmm. So you basically got to a core issue for this person mm-hmm. in like 2 hours. Mm-hmm. In 2 hours. So if this person was 50 years old, you basically got to a core of one of these major things going on in their life
mm-hmm.
in 2 hours and then worked on the healing, which took then a few more sessions, but oh my God.
Yeah, that's honestly, I don't want to toot my horn, but it's like after at least one session, they're like, I had no idea this was where it's coming from. Yep. Mm-hmm. Yes.
Yeah. It's just, It's just so incredible to be able to help guide people in this way and like free people, because I totally see it too in things that I do. It's like after an hour session, they're like, wow, I haven't played like that in so long, or oh, I haven't thought about that in so long. And that was really freeing and fun. And it's just all about this permission.
I know, and I love it. I love it when I empower people by just this first session. Even if I'm just sharing them with my perspective of what I'm hearing there, and I then just hear, hey, I can do this. Yes, you can. I just love this. It's like, okay, I want to keep doing this. This is
Yeah.
like one of the greatest motivations for me. Anytime when I have someone say, wow, this was amazing. Wow, thank you. I like whenever this happens, I can't imagine a better motivation than keep when I hear this. It's like, okay, I made a difference in this person's life. This is beautiful.
God, you've discovered your sole purpose. And you are lucky, and everybody who receives it from you is lucky.
Thank you.
So as we approach our third question, which is stuff that we've talked about, but it's kind of wrapping it up and putting in a nice little bow on it, is so why is creativity even important, do you think?
Creativity is important because if you keep doing the same thing over and over, like it gets redundant. You have to get new ideas. Like whatever you're doing, whether you are cooking a new recipe, whether you are at the job and you need to do you want to try something to get a promotion, or even if you just want to try a new project, if you keep doing the same thing, you're going to get the same results. But if you think out of the box, if you do something completely different, even if it's just going out into walking, take a walk on the beach, or doing something completely unrelated to what you need to do, you're going to get ideas that blow everybody's mind.
Yes.
It just makes your life better. You get a pay raise or whatever you wanted. Creativity is so important. Even if you're trying to get a good grade in school, creativity is so important. And seriously, I want to shoot anybody who says no. Just you need creativity. You need it. It's part of life. You keep doing the same thing like this, and it makes you excited. It makes you one. It makes you motivated. Oh my gosh, I'm motivating myself when I'm talking.
So you hear this, listeners? I want you to think about, we're leaving you with this to think about, is what gets you excited? What gets you motivated? How can you switch up your routines so you're not doing the same thing all of the time? Even if it's going a different way when you're going someplace, the way, like if you're going to work or the store or wherever, change up the way that you go. And like you said, a walk on the beach. I have to say, this is my first podcast in a week and a half because I was at the beach for a week.
Nice.
And my brain's a little mush, but yes, sitting on that beach, taking walks, touching the sand, standing on the sandbar. Oh my gosh, so many freaking downloads.
Absolutely. Oh my gosh. I love the ocean.
So many downloads. Yes. Oh my gosh, the ocean was gorgeous. And
Oh my
then we saw, we're in New Jersey, so we're on the
gosh.
East Coast, and the water was clearer than ever. But it was funny because my 21-year-old, we were standing on the shoreline, and there was a horseshoe crab that almost got washed up but went back into the water. And they have huge friggin' tails, which
Wow.
you don't want to step on, like dangerous. That's where we're like, respect the ocean. I'm here, you're there. Respect your space. Oh my God, totally off topic, but
Oh
yes. But yes, we're leaving that with you guys today, but please, Dosia, tell everybody how they can connect with you.
Absolutely. So my website is Deuce's Miracle Reiki. And you can find me there on my website. You can find me on Facebook. Deuce's Miracle Energy Healing Help Empower Women, although my service is for everybody. And yeah, I'm also on Instagram. So also just look for my name there and you'll find me there. And yeah, never mind, I'm on Clubhouse. But that's a long story. Yeah, but. Yeah, just
Perfect.
find my name and you'll find me.
Wonderful. Well, all of that will be included in the bio of the podcast. So, what final words would you like to give to everybody just for inspiration before we leave?
Although we already talked about this, but I really want to encourage you all to be creative. Learn new things, learn new ways. If you have somebody who is not who like whether it's a family member or somebody who you want to connect with, whatever their situation is, you want to figure out, just be creative. Do something, just it's all about creativity. Just do something different. You want to connect with somebody, learn their language, learn their love language, learn how they communicate. If you're working, just do something different. Do something crazy. I mean, just do something creative. It's going to make your life so much. It's just going to make your life blossom.
Yeah, that's beautiful. So appreciated. And just really listen in order to understand what a person's love language is, and all that, you have to listen and observe, just like you do so much in your work. And you have to be an observer and a good listener in order to be able to create that for people. So, see, I so appreciate you being in this space. Thank you so much for taking this hour to chat with me.
It was an honor for me to be on. Thank you. Thank you for
So,
having me.
yeah. And everybody, thank you to all the people that joined us live and to the people who are listening to the replay. This is all about inspiring, sharing, and connecting. I'm sorry, I've been on vacation too long. It's all about inspiring, connecting, and sharing stories. So, please like, follow and share so we can get these stories out there and we can inspire each other because, we need to lift each other up. So I wish you a good morning, a good afternoon, a good evening, wherever you are in this world, and we'll be talking to you soon. So goodbye, everybody.
Hi, everyone.